This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
You may have heard of George Lawlor, the Warwick University student making headlines with his stand against the union's sexual consent lessons. The student posted a picture of himself online holding a card that says, "This is not what a rapist looks like," in response to an invitation to a consent workshop. He described the invitation as the biggest insult I've received in a good few years. The politics and sociology student wrote an article for The Tab in which he outlines his objection to the class. He writes that the invitation implies I have an insufficient understanding of what and does not constitute consent, and that's incredibly hurtful. Lawlor went on to address those who run the sessions, the self-appointed teachers of consent, suggesting that they go and do something, real people need your help and they deserve better than you. The student knew that this article would spark controversy, but felt it was important that someone spoke out. His predictions were correct, and the article was blasted on Twitter and described by one user as offensive to women and an embarrassment to men. Others went further, one user calling Lawlor an angry creep bag, this being one of the less explicit comments. Speaking to HuffPost UK, Lawlor said, "The piece was about getting people to talk and to think about the issue as much as it was about me expressing my own opinions on it. So I'm happy that on the most part people are debating." And what I really want to talk about is, was it fair for Lawlor to be attacked as he was for expressing his own opinion on the matter?
I think first of all, it's a very difficult topic, sexual consent, because from one point of view, of course, you want as many people as possible to get involved with the topic, because it's a huge issue, kind of more and more, especially in society. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to insult people. And I can kind of half see where he's coming from. As like a normal guy, if he doesn't, you know, do those things which other people perhaps do, to be accused of one of those for doing absolutely nothing and inviting him to a seminar or whatever. Obviously, it's not an accusation, but there is a feeling of, you know, not necessarily irritation about it, but his reaction to it, I think, is probably too far.
I think, having read the article, I understand why he feels the way he does. I think he perceived it almost to be a bit of an attack on men and quite insulted that men were being depicted as almost animals or like people that can't control themselves and don't understand how to how to treat a woman with respect. But I think the way he went about it and his article, using swearing in the article about the people that organised the event, extremely quite strong, and I thought it was quite, he called the event a waste of time. I think he went way past the line, and I think in that way he kind of isolated himself and made himself look like a bit of an idiot.
I think there's no question that the event isn't a waste of time, and it's definitely something which is very worth people doing, but it's quite difficult to market it in a way which doesn't insult people. I personally wouldn't know how I would do it any differently to how they did it. I think
it's just a difficult issue really to kind of get people to try and learn actually what consent is. And yes, it does look like an attack on men. I think that men and everyone should have the right to decline going to the class if they feel that it's not for them, but to then broadcast it online, so to speak, is then going to push everyone else from going to those classes, and then you're back to square one really with no solution to the growing problem of sexual assault.
I also think the card he held saying this is not what a rapist looks like was again a very stupid move, because anybody in society could be capable of, you know, performing an act which a woman might find offensive. It's not to do with what a rapist looks like.
Because I think what that ends up doing is alienating a wide group of people who have very valid points to raise about this, but also ends up reaffirming a stereotype of victim blaming and reaffirming a stereotype of that, you know, that rapists or really any criminal fits a certain physical profile, which they don't. And I think that's very counterproductive to the spirit of what this event actually is.
Yeah, I think the spirit of the event is actually that anybody could be a rapist and that anybody could actually do things potentially without even knowing what they're doing because they're drunk or because, you know, because of something else. And perhaps they didn't know themselves they were pushing it maybe too far or something like that. And maybe because of that, a picture like that really doesn't help the cause at all.
Yeah, me and Liz were discussing it earlier today about how it's also about addressing this kind of blurred line between what means no. Because you can still say no to someone and they will still try and push you, coerce you, or any, like, even touching someone, I think, is highly inappropriate. And that is an example of where you've got to understand that if a woman says no, or she makes no indication that she wants you to approach her in that manner, there is no situation where you should be able to do that, or you think you could do that.
I think I definitely agree with that. But I think just as a topic, opening up to discussion probably isn't a bad thing. I mean, again, any kind of discussion we can have about this kind of topic is only going to lead to positive effects, I think. The more statistics get bandied around about it, the more people who kind of become aware of it through discussion can only be a positive influence.
I think it's definitely that's the case, and like it's making it people aware of it. Like a couple of years ago, I know there was probably no such thing as sexual consent classes. It was very much something which was like rape was sort of spoken about in courts and stuff, but it wasn't really a common topic. People sort of shied away from it and were sort of like, oh no, don't, you know, don't talk about it. Where I think the fact that we've got these classes coming out really like signifies that actually society is taking a step forward in that actually, like, no, these things do happen and people need to be taught what is rape, what isn't rape, and how to combat it and how to stop it.
And like you said, Bessie, that grey line in the middle where people can often kind of overstep the mark is definitely an area where these kind of places, these kind of seminars and things could be really useful.
And I know Warwick isn't the only university to do this. I think a lot of universities in Freshers Week, they kind of promote either events or like send out messages about what is consent. And I know Oxford and Cambridge, I think Cambridge is actually discussing the idea of putting similar classes out themselves.
I think Nottingham actually as well is thinking about putting out some sexual consent classes. I think it's something to do to be connected with the He For She campaign. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're definitely speaking to the SU. Sexual consent classes are definitely something which is on their to-do list as well, so we might even see them here at Nottingham.
How kind of well attended do you reckon those classes would be in Nottingham? If they're just a voluntary thing advertised in the way that all these seminars are, kind of through email, etc., do you think there are people even fill a lecture theatre?
I don't think they will, because I think if you go to I think there might be a lot of girls there, but I really, it's awful to say, but I don't think there'll be a lot of boys there, because you don't want to be seen as someone who doesn't know what sexual consent is. And I think for a girl, it's sort of like, it's almost like the idea that it's always the boy who's the rapist, so it's sort of like that. So I think girls might go, but I'm not 100% boys will go, because they don't want to be seen as that person who doesn't know.
For a man to go to one of those events, it's almost like you've already labelled yourself a rapist. It's almost admitting that you've got some kind of problem, and in fact actually you're just going for information or to find things out and support and things like that.
I think they need to change their message really, which isn't just, you know, we're not just targeting potential rapists or people who might commit sexual assault, but it's people, you know, to stop it from happening around you, because you might have friends or see boys or girls, I mean it's both boys and girls who could be committing sexual assault. I mean, there was that Oxford girl who was an activist for LGBT rights who's just had to stand down from her position because she's admitted to not having consensual sex with her partner. So it's just about kind of spreading the message to everyone, and it's, you know, just not a personal thing, but you have a personal responsibility for helping others maybe. So it seems poor old Jeremy Corbyn can't rely on student voters to return Labour to power in the next election, as students aren't as electorally powerful as previously thought. A new report from the Higher Education Policy Institute has said. It shows six Conservative-held seats thought to be susceptible to being toppled by the student vote only. One ended up in Labour hands in the election this year. So the seats that were expected to shift from Tory to Labour at the 2015 election were areas with high student areas, such as Loughborough, Lincoln and Brighton. So there were many different suggestions for this unexpected outcome, such as great numbers of students voted in their home constituencies rather than their university towns, so therefore there was less of an impact. Also, the report suggested there were a lot of shy Tory voters out there during the election. So the report concluded that students' voting habits are not actually very different to the rest of the population. So my first question, did all of you vote?
Yeah, I made a point of voting. I'm a history and politics student, so for me not to go vote, doing politics and knowing the impact of politics through history, would be pretty poor. I think it's a very interesting topic. I mean, personally, I think the reason why students didn't vote Labour in the last election is because they weren't a fan of Miliband. I think now that Miliband's gone, a lot of students especially are quite left-wing, as is Corbyn. So there is definitely a possibility that students can be galvanised into voting for once, which would be really nice to see, potentially voting in Jeremy Corbyn.
Well, guys, do you think that students are more likely to vote Labour than Conservative?
I think on the whole, yes. And I think one of the biggest reasons is because Jeremy Corbyn, it's not just that he's left, it's that he's bringing something that's new to the table. For students who would have lived through New Labour, which was basically Margaret Thatcher light, and then going through Ed Miliband's time where he couldn't really decide on a message between being new Labour or new old Labour, it was too confusing for them. But I think having a distinctly different policy approach to the Conservatives can only help Labour, I think, especially when the student population is concerned.
Well, do you think that Conservatives, in that case, alienate young people in their manifesto, and that maybe students are attracted to the Labour Party because they do have policies that attract
students? I think it's more that students just tend generally, and young people just tend to be more left wing. I think as people get older, they grow more conservative and grow more right wing. I don't know. The next election, I think, is going to be an interesting one, because I'm not so sure a lot of these students are going to vote for Corbyn, because I think he's probably even too left wing. He has got this new fresh image, and this new kind of whole idea, new almost a different type of politics that we haven't seen before. But at the same time, I think with a Lib Dems without Nick Clegg, there's a possibility that all those kind of left of centre students won't vote for Corbyn because he's too left, and they might swing to Lib Dems instead.
I agree with that. I think that it was really weird after the last election, after sort of hating on Nick Clegg for about 4 years, once he was put out of office, about like so many people just went, oh no, I feel really sorry for him now. Oh, he wasn't actually that bad, was he? Like, oh. So I think the Lib Dems could actually get a massive resurgence, and I personally think that Jeremy Corbyn, I think a lot of his policies are a little bit unrealistic, and I think that maybe they're a little bit too far left. So I agree with Ollie in that I reckon student voters may vote Liberal just because it might be a slightly safer option.
But it's also important, I think, to remember how much impact the young vote actually had on Corbyn getting elected in the first place. Let's not forget the number of people who's registered to sign up as Labour voters just to get Corbyn into power, and he got 60% of the vote on the first round. That's an incredible mandate. And as someone who is a Corbyn supporter, and finding the idea of him bringing in a fresher approach, or a genuine left approach to politics, I can see it working. But I think it's also really tricky to say anything now. I mean, we're still in the first year of the Conservative government since the election.
I think a lot of things can change. I mean, there have been questions bandied around whether even Corbyn will actually reach the next election, or whether he's just a fresh face to rejuvenate Labour before maybe kind of standing down up and coming before the next election. But in all, I agree. I think it's probably a bit too early to tell. But I think what's really important, actually, for the first time, is that students are getting involved. And I haven't actually seen, in my lifetime anyway, I was born in 94, I haven't seen a student actual involvement in politics that I can remember. So for me, even though I'm kind of slightly right of centre, I still think it's a fantastic thing, because students are actually, for once, having their voice heard.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.